Hi, I want to welcome you to our webinar. I'm excited about it because Dr. Clarice Fluett, who moves in miracles, signs, wonders, the prophetic, and all kinds of inspired utterances and actions, is with you tonight to teach you on the miraculous and the supernatural. Do you know that every believer can operate in these things? According to John chapter 14 and verse 12, these are the words of Jesus. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." We also see in the Gospels that he says, "As the Father sent me, so also I send you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." This is what he has offered every single believer in him, and that means you. How many of you really want to grow in the supernatural? So we're going to have an opportunity for questions to come in. Please feel free to write in your questions regarding the operation of the supernatural and the miraculous. You can write into question@xpmedia.com, and we will make sure that we get those read and prayed through, and some of them we might be able to address. But right now, I know that you've been waiting for this moment. I want to introduce Dr. Clarice Fluett.
What a joy to be with you. I'm telling you, I'm just so full of excitement about having the opportunity to talk about the realm of the supernatural.
Well, I'm so excited that you're here because I know you and your ministry. I've seen you work the miracles. I've seen you prophesy in a way that electrified entire, you know, masses of people. And you've written a book called Ridiculous Miracles, which every single chapter can be read on its own, actually.
And it's easy reading.
It so fills you with faith.
Yes.
And so I'm really excited about this book, and I know that you're going to be sharing some principles with our audience today for this webinar. You're going to give at least four good points for growing in the supernatural and the miraculous. So teach us, sister.
I will be honored to do that. Hello, everyone. It is indeed a privilege and a pleasure to be able to address, encourage, exhort, and edify you in becoming a candidate to walk in the realm of the miraculous. Many times I tell people, if you can begin to say, "Lord, I want to be an extension cord for you, an extension cord of your power, of your word, your authority, your love, and your life." No one walks in the room and says, "Oh, have you seen the extension cords?" No, they're there for the purpose of transmitting power. And you and I have been created, according to the word of God, to stand in the stead, to take the place of Jesus Christ in the earth. While he takes our place in the heavenlies, we take his place upon the face of this earth. Four things that you really need to understand that the Word of God says you are to covet, desire, seek, and practice spiritual things. Covet, desire, seek, and practice spiritual things. 1 Corinthians tells us that spiritual things, spiritual matters, that God says, "I would not have you ignorant of spiritual matters." Ignorant does not mean stupid or dumb. It just means uninformed and inexperienced. And the way we gain experience is we submit ourselves to the learning process that is necessary so that the things of God become ours by the reason of use. If there is not a passion in you to be an extension cord for God, if there's not a passion in you to reach the lost and to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to drive out demons, then you need to be able to check your fuel gauge. You need to begin to find out, what am I eating spiritually that has not led to an energy force inside of me to desire to walk in the realm of the miraculous? So let's talk about coveting. The Bible says we're not to covet thy neighbor's good, but then this word that I'm using according to the scripture right now, covet means a strong passion for something. There has to be a strong passion. And many times we make things very, kind of convoluted and hard for people to understand. So I want to break it down. First of all, you need a word from God before you start a work from God. And there, you know, the Bible's full of words, and people say, "Well, that's the written word of God." You need that to be a quickened word. Some refer to it as the Rhema and the Logos, that there's two different things. But God spoke his word, then he wrote it down. Then he said, "My sheep know my voice, and a voice of another they will not adhere." So you and I, as children of God, one of your inherited qualities as a child of God is God says, "You're going to hear and know my voice." But what causes that not to happen is that we testify against God by saying, well, I don't hear the voice of God. I don't hear the voice of God. Until you begin to agree with God, create by calling the things that are not as though they were. You begin to act like you hear the voice of God. Now, acting on something is not pretending. Years ago when I first began to I just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I'm telling you, God gave me a coveting spirit, a desire. I wanted to know everything that I possibly could know about this wonderful Jesus that had paid the price to redeem me, to make me righteous, take me not only to heaven, but to give me victory in this life and throughout eternity. I was excited about God. And I heard that there was this little prayer meeting. Wherever there was a prayer meeting, I was going to go because I wanted to learn. And I knew that I didn't know anything. I'd been in church. I'd been raised Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian. I married a Catholic and became Pentecostal. So it's not about not being in church. You can spend your life in a garage. It won't make a car out of you. You have to have a personal experience with the Lord. And that had happened to me. And with that came passion. With that came the desire to say, God, whatever you say is what I want. So I went to this little prayer meeting, and this unique gentleman came out, and he had on like a checked coat and striped pants, and he had a little Ichabod Crane hairdo, an unlikely candidate that you would say, this is the one I want to emulate and all the things. But I was sitting on the front row. Now, let me tell you about sitting on the front row. It's not pride. But you begin to say, the more that I learn and the greater my capacity to house wisdom, knowledge, comprehension, and understanding, the more I'm equipped to be an extension cord that can handle greater power. So that knowledge was important to me. So I came prepared. I had my Bible. I had my notebook. I had my pen. And if the speaker said something profound like, good morning, saints, I wrote it down. I wrote it down. It seemed so immature. But he came out that day, I'll never forget, and he says, well, hello, you little sweethearts. And I'm writing down, well, hello, you little sweethearts. I was teachable. I was amenable. The way you spell it is amen, able. But I was teachable, and everything he said. And there was a gentleman sitting next to me. And he was very restless, and he wasn't taking notes. When he was twittering around, his legs were shaking, he was going, rah, rah, rah. I thought, well, he must have a stomach ache or something's wrong. And the speaker looked at me that morning, and he said, sweetheart, cast the devil out of that man next to you. And I said, sir, I don't know how to do that. And he says, act like you do, the devil's stupid. That was my first lesson. I became an exorcist that day because I believed authority. And when he told me, he says, all authority has been deposited in Jesus' name and given to you. Girl, get up. And I looked at the man and I said, in the name of Jesus, whoever you are, whatever you're doing, come out of that man. And the guy fell over and incredible deliverance took place. See, God will lead us in our immaturity. Immature isn't impure, and weak is not wicked. Correction is not rejection. So I began to learn that, as I said, I can hear the voice of God. One of the ways that I had to learn to hear, see, you've got to hear, you got to fear before you hear, but you have to get a word from God before you begin a work from God. If you just take the word of God that says, and heal the sick, and you say, well, I ran up to the hospital and I prayed and nobody got healed. You had a written word that gave you the principles of godliness, but you had not heard out of the abundance of your heart the quickened word, the revelatory word that God says now. See, everything's in the season, the timing of God. But we practice. He gives us incredible opportunities to practice till we become more proficient and more knowledgeable. And your faith is increased by your hearing. See, the faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God, not hearing the negative, not hearing the nobody knows the troubles I see all around me is death, doom, and misery. Hear what God has to say. You are people with a choice and a voice. So when I decided I'm going to hear the voice of God, and I just said, Lord, I take authority. I bind the devil. He's not going to talk to me because I believe you have defeated him. I believe that he is under my feet, and I'm not going to listen to any lies that he has to say. And I decree it. And I was about 6 months old in the things of God. So I said, I'm not moving out of this bed. This way in the morning, I'd say, good morning, God. This is your day. Whatever you want me to do. And I would hear something like, all right, you can get up now. Then I would get up. Then I'd hear something like, you can have an apple. And I would go and I'd peel my apple and start to eat it. And he'd say, put the apple down, go back to bed. Now, this is sort of the way you'd train a dog. You know, that did you know that pure worship means to fall at the feet of your master like a dog? You know, that's incredible analogies that God gives us. But I had to learn his voice. I had to be tested in the little things before the great things were entrusted to me. So I learned for 3 years. I went through that knowing his voice. 2 o'clock in the morning, I would hear a voice that would say, go sit at such and such place. Go take your car and go there and just pray for the people at the university. Pray for the people here. And then just like that, I'd hear, you can go home now. Then you have to do this or you have to do that. Please understand that God has chosen the weak and the foolish to confound the wise and the mighty. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If you say you want to hear the voice of God and fear what he has to say and to see great exploits take place in your life, there's a process of learning to hear his voice so that that confidence comes to you that when you hear something that you can move in that direction. That's very, very important. I travel a great deal. I see people in airports and I see people all over the place and the Lord will say, go to this one or go to that one. And never, never have I had an experience that was not positive. And when I was selective in hearing God say, go to this person or that person, I don't just go to anybody. I get a word before we begin a work. So I encourage you today as we talk about what is wisdom and what is knowledge and what is understanding and what is the supernatural power of God, the things of God will become yours by reason of use. You've got to begin to pray for people. I started visiting nursing homes, and everybody let you pray for them there. I started going to the hospitals. I started going to places, to the prisons. I started going where people, they were broken people that were just looking for someone to love them. And while I learned obedience through the things I was suffering, much like Christ, I learned, did I always make 100 on everything? I know in God's case I did because I went on his score. I didn't go in on mine. Correction is not rejection. If you're just going to get all upset because somebody says, I'll give you an example. My husband and I, we're pastors, and he was encouraging people to prophesy. He said, you know, the Bible said he who prophesies is more valuable to the church than he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. So he opened a time for the people to practice. Where are you going to get to go to practice spiritual gifts? It's not going to be at the grocery store where you can be encouraged and exhorted and edified. So this gentleman jumped up and he says, I have a word from God. God would say, fear not, I am with you. Don't be afraid of anything, saith God. Yea, saith God. I know it is to be afraid. I've been afraid before. Amen. So my husband said, now, brother, you got started really good. And he says, but you have to understand, God has never been afraid of anything. He says, God doesn't have the spirit of fear. And he says, now that first part, you know, that was good. He said, prophesy, let your prophecies always be in alignment with the word of God. It has to be in alignment. You cannot prophesy things that are apart from the word of God, the principles of faith. And the man sat down and then, see, his spirit was not amen able. And then he says, yea, saith the Lord God. That was me too, saith God. And you find people that get so obstinate. We were at this meeting. This lady was teaching, and it was wonderful teaching. And the woman jumped up, and she says, yea, saith the Lord thy God. Yea, saith God. Leave. Go to the highways and the byways. Don't take your coat. Don't take your purse. Go now, saith God. Go now. And she got up and ran out of the room. Well, you know, it was incredible distraction, and the lady teaching, she says, let's just resume where we are. And about 10 minutes later, the woman runs back in. Yea, saith God. Correction. Take your coat. It's cold out there. So you find people, at least they're trying, but you have to understand that as you move in spiritual gifts and you have people, mentors that are not tormentors, that they will help you to comprehend the Holy Ghost. The Lord, the giver of life, will lead you in grace and knowledge. But you have to covet, you have to desire, you have to seek, and you have to practice spiritual things.
Wow, that was awesome.
Thank you.
What are some of the things that you have found that that work for your personal growth? Like, I know that a lot of people will ask questions like, why is it that sometimes, like, you'll see, like, a televangelist praying for someone and they get out of the wheelchair, but you've got someone in your own home who's sick in a wheelchair. You're praying every single day, standing on the word, decreeing the word, doing everything that you can do, but they're not raised up out of the wheelchair. So they say, what is the key? What can I do to grow in my faith or to grow in whatever I need to see more miracles take place?
Word of God says things seen are subject to change. There are things that we see, and I believe we get very confused and deluded about the difference between truth and facts. We'll look at things and we'll pray for someone to get out of a wheelchair. We'll pray for someone, financial blessing, whatever it is, we pray for it and we speak life to it. And because we don't see it immediately, we dig our seeds with the same tongue that we get hung by the tongue. And
right.
The way you get loose from the noose is that you choose to agree with God, that timing is absolutely imperative, and that when we see the televangelists or other people, we think their faith is great. And it is. Their faith is great because they're doing it all the time.
Right.
The way you learn to ride a bicycle or operate a computer or drive a car, you don't just wake up one morning, it dawns on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you have, you first of all, you have to see that it's possible.
Right.
You have to see somebody else is doing this. So I know it's a possibility that it's going to happen. So I just encourage people when they pray, and you say, I've prayed the prayer of faith. Well, faith doesn't just hope, it knows. The faith of God is different than the faith in God.
Right.
So I encourage people, when you have prayed for something, my husband said something interesting. He says, well, he says, I got another answer from God. And I said, you did? And he said, yes. He said, no. So when we want that immediate satisfaction for my son, my daughter, but
right.
God has got a better thing in mind for us. And corporately, you know, Patricia, I believe that as we come to a corporate awareness of who we are and whose we are, that our prayers will move out of begging and pleading mm-hmm. into decreeing and declaring.
Right.
And I tell people, quit talking to God like you think he has a severe case of Alzheimer's and doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
You know, oh, Lord, things are so bad. I don't have any money. My kid's in jail, da-da-da-da-da. He knows about that. You've got to learn to put into the atmosphere the frequency of words that have the power to
right.
make angels
right.
run to perform.
And we know that God always wants to heal. Like
he's already paid the price.
It's never his will that a person remains sick.
I believe that.
Never his will. And so 2,000 years ago, he
paid
completed
the price.
It all.
I believe.
He completed it all. It is finished. But there's a journey of faith that we can walk when we live in the truth. My husband and I, we are walking out a walk of faith right now. We believe the word. It says, by the stripes of Jesus, my husband is healed. He's got a health challenge that he's fighting and standing in faith for. So we believe that promise. We're standing on that promise. Why? Because it is the truth. The fact is that there's some symptoms with it.
Right.
We are right in glaring at us every
screaming
single day.
At you. Right.
That we have to care for the facts, but know that they're only facts, because that's just in the realm of time. In the eternal realm, the truth has been determined. So we're pulling out of that eternal into the now. And so we are standing believing. And yet we can go to meetings and see miracles of healing and, you know, people that you pray for get healed. So I just want you to know that not everyone that you see as a televangelist that's pulling people out of wheelchairs gets 100% results every single time. But they're standing in their faith. And you know what I liked about what you said earlier was is that in God's eyes, you're scoring every time because you're in
faith.
You've
got to go in on his score all
the
way together.
You're agreeing with
him. You know, Patricia, it's something that, and I really believe it will be a source of encouragement to other people, whether the televangelists, and we see men and women that there's celebrity that is attached to it, but the reality that they are not exempt from opportunities to overcome. The way that you get to come over into the kingdom of God is that you have a season of overcoming where that word is proven in your life. You're
mm-hmm.
not making just mental assent and just talking the talk, but you're walking the walk. You're building muscles. And the way a muscle is built, you build up, you tear down. And, you know, I've shared with you and with others, I spent 27 years praying for my youngest daughter. She was bound by drugs, alcohol, wrong relationship. She was in prison. She was doing a life sentence on installment plans. Wherever she went, she was not raised like that. She was, I mean, it was just terrible. And she came to a place where she was looking at a life sentence in California. She was a 3-time drug offender and all that goes with it. absolutely beautiful, talented, gifted young woman. And she called me one day and she says, "You have no idea what I have done." I said, "Julie, you have no idea what God's called you to be." And I said, "All of my children are disciples taught of the Lord, and great is their peace and undisturbed composure. You can run, but you can't hide. I have released into the realm of the ever-present now. Your destiny has been changed by the words of my prayers. And I'm telling you, regardless, if you're 90 years old and bald-headed, you're coming into the kingdom of God." I mean, you know, that's already been established because the faith of God has been released in your behalf. And when she was facing this, she had like a 45-page rap.
Right.
You know, and I'm not ashamed to talk to you about that because we look at people and we think they've never had a problem. They don't know anything. Problems can become your most incredible opportunity of validation, you know, that Jesus became sin.
Yeah. And what I hear you saying, Clarice, is that even though in the natural, your daughter had stepped into all that stuff,
and
she faced all those things.
Yes.
But you believe in the supernatural.
Right.
You believe in the power of God that can
say what you want
and bring his promise to pass in her life, no matter what is in the natural. And I just feel right now that for many of you that are watching on this webinar, that you actually have loved ones, maybe children, grandchildren, that are in this very state. And you need to kick into the supernatural belief of a miracle working God. And it's not just for healing or physical deliverance or anything like that. It's for families being saved and delivered from the things that plague them. It's from, you know, it's for your children. It is for your loved ones. And so I just feel faith for miracles right now for a shift. And I just see that there's a shift in mindset coming to many of you right now where you have thought, "Oh, this is so horrible. That's so horrible." But now in hearing that, you're saying, "Just a minute. That's only the natural. I'm standing on the supernatural now.
Yes,
I'm standing on what my God can do and what my God will do because I'm in covenant with him. I can hardly wait to see how he's going to do it. I don't know when. I don't know how. I don't know where. But he is going to do it because you are believing for that miracle and you will get that miracle." Oh, I feel so much.
That's wonderful.
Ooh, I feel so much anointing on that.
I certainly don't want to leave people wondering. In the fullness of time, Julie took an overdose of heroin and died. She was dead 45 minutes, and God raised her from the dead, took her back to jail again, and brought her in. The Lord said, "Take your hands off of it. I can't get to her. You've prayed so much for her. I can't get to her."
Wow.
People need to hear that. "Oh, God, save Johnny, save Johnny." Sometimes we need to say, "God, thank you for saving Johnny."
Yeah, because sometimes it's our anxiety. We think it's prayer, but
it's actually
our anxiety.
It's just frustration.
And it puts the enemy in the scene instead.
So Julie goes to court. The judge says, "I'm sending you away. You're despicable, da-da-da-da-da-da-da." And he says, "Do you have anything to say for yourself?" She said, "Sir, half of what I've done you don't know about." Now, there's a boldness there. And she says, "I am descended from an ancient line of warlords." And she says, "My destiny is to do greatness. I've been building a testimony." And she says, "I am created to be an ambassador of the Most High God."
Wow.
And he couldn't believe it. So he says, "I'm going to put you in another program. If you spit on the ground, you're going to prison for life, da-da-da-da-da." They put her in the program. She did 100%. She graduated from a class of all these people that are in there. The judge and all the people came. The judge wept, and he said, "Julie Fluitt's testimony is equal to that of Lazarus."
Wow.
And he says, "I've never seen anything such a dramatic change." Now, today, she's graduated from college. She has adopted a child whose parents are drug addicts. And she's opened her own houses now. And she is helping people bound by drugs and alcohol.
Our Redeemer lives.
Yes, he does. Amen. He does. So
your
don't
Redeemer,
give up.
Your Redeemer lives. Just believe for that miracle. And I feel like in the atmosphere right now, there are miracles being released.
Absolutely.
What kind of miracle do you need? What kind of supernatural intervention do you need? Do you need it for your children? Do you need it for your finances? Do you need it for your health? Do you need it to restore relationship? It doesn't matter what your situation is. God has a miracle for you. Now, Clarice, we already have some questions that have come in. And just feel free to write your questions out and email them to question@xpmedia.com. And this one's from Craig. Thank you, Craig, for your question. It says, "The Bible says that God heals, and I've seen and heard of God healing people. But why doesn't he heal all, especially the ones that have a lot of prayers for healing?" We discussed that a little bit earlier, but
the price for healing has been paid. Judicially, it's done. It's complete. It's absolute. Experientially, it has not been done because at the time of the church, at this particular time, we are very divided in our faith. Some believe in healing, some don't, but from God's perspective, we are the many-membered corporate body of Christ, and a house divided against itself cannot stand. So the emphasis has got to be unity is not uniformity, but coming together to be able to say that the Word of God says that healing is part of salvation. When a person says, I'm saved, what they're saying, according to the definition, I'm healed, I'm delivered, and I'm wealthy.
Right.
And that triple braided cord takes care of everything. Then when you have people of influence, it's like, you know, in a government, you've got people that are in charge making decisions that you don't agree with. You know, we see
right.
that. We see the nations raging all over the world right now because those in leadership are not in agreement. And as long as there's disagreement about the Word of God, then, of course, it dilutes the power.
And, of course, in the church today worldwide, there's disagreement. A lot of entire denominations
Absolutely.
Have doctrinal stands against healing for today. So when you put that out into the spirit,
that's
there's
part
resistance.
Of your, that's yeah. part of your body, because anyone that says Jesus is Lord is a part of the mystical body of Christ.
Right.
So their vote counts.
Wow.
So we've got to
so
see.
So we need to pray
breaking,
for revelation. That's why Paul prayed
absolutely.
For the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus.
There you go.
That's awesome. Okay, here's a great question. How does one become more aware of the angels supporting us? And how do we utilize the gifts and support that these angels have given to us?
Patricia, the Word of God tells us that angels are ministering spirits. They're sent forth. They're agents of the Most High God, and their purpose on this earth is to aid us who are the heirs of salvation, to help us. They're the supernatural divine intervention of God. People erroneously have taught that we have the power to command angels to tell them to do this. What they respond to is the Word of God, the infallible, inerrant Word of God that's revelatory in your life and mine, not just the information, but the transformation that takes place. So as you speak the Word of God, the words that you speak, like if I were to say, angels, go get my money. Angels, go get this car for me. That's not a ministering
right,
spirit.
Right, right,
that,
right.
That some people erroneously have believed that, and that they're moved by need and greed instead of by the inspiration of the Word of God. So the knowing the classifications of angelic beings and to be made more aware of what they do, you know, you have those that make announcements, angels that are in charge of that. You've got those that come and have warfare and those of declaration. So with these angelic beings being made aware of that, you speak the Word of God, and you don't get into angel worship or anything like that. They are servants of the Most High God. I hear people erroneously say, well, when I die, I'm going to be a little angel. No, you're made a little lower in this realm, but you are destined as a son of God, not as an angel. That's just erroneous talk
right.
when you get into that. But to be made aware that the more you proclaim the Word of God, the more you will be aware of divine intervention.
And I also love Psalm 103, and this might help some of you have an understanding of the way that you can dispatch angels. It's out of verse 20 of 103, Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Which ties in what you were saying, is that when you speak that word, it's what dispatches the angels, because they obey the voice of the word, not the voice of your own ambition or desires,
right.
but the voice of the word.
God.
So that's really powerful.
You become like a launching pad. You launch out the Word of God, and they grab a hold of it. When God hears God in this earth, angels move.
Right. Clarice, one of the things that I have discovered over the years is the power of honor.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Goodness, like I have seen people actually get disqualified from their calls because they stepped into dishonor mm-hmm. of leaders and were dishonoring towards people that God had highlighted. And even though they were gifted, so gifted, but they were disqualified and they never were able to really get anywhere with their calling. And I knew that it was because of dishonor. You have written a book called The Law of Honor, and we just want to encourage our viewers on the webcast to get this book. It's awesome. But how does honor give us more strength in the working of miracles.
Well, when you begin to understand that to be honorable is to be a person of integrity and character, and God gives us commandments, not requests, and he says, this is what you do, honor God. And the first, I believe, the first four commandments talk about how you honor God, and the next six is how you honor people. And then you break it down, you know, you honor God, you honor parents, you honor, and it just goes on. But basically, it's honor everybody, mm-hmm. you know, that we are in a position. Honor and obey are two different things. Mm-hmm. Children obey yes. your parents, for this is good. But you never come to a place where you cannot honor.
Right.
You know, and that honor simply means preferring. And it's death to pride.
Right.
You know, it's just death to pride. And when we see people that have great giftings and talents and callings, and, you know, it's obvious that their gift goes before them, and God gave it for the purpose of building the kingdom of
right.
God. But arrogance and pride goes right before the fall. So when I began to do this study on that, I found the seedbed of all misgivings in our lives comes back into, what are you honoring? You know, what are you paying attention to? Whether if you honor the negative or honor the positive, what you give life to, you know, that becomes your God. The Bible says, you know, what you submit your body to becomes your God, what you submit right. your honor to. So, and anyone that has the opportunity to be with you, you are one of the most honoring people that I've ever met. You give honor to God, and you esteem others, and you create an atmosphere mm-hmm. with your love. When you say God loves you, really does, somebody else could say it, and that would be just as, you know, it would be like a facade. But every cell in your body is saying amen to it because you love people and are giving honor. It's the kindness of God that causes people to repent from sin.
Right.
And that kindness is in this entire ministry, it is a gift of honor that I have seen, and I salute
That's
you for
awesome.
It.
Thank you. I just have a word of knowledge for someone, and it's a little bit off topic, but it's in regard to honor. When Dr. Clarice was sharing, children obey your parents, but we always have to honor, I felt like there's someone here that you are actually in a family crisis right now because your parents, one of your parents has been speaking into your life, trying to make you do something that would make them feel better. And they're using scripture, chapter and verse, to endorse what they're saying. But you're an adult. Even though you are their daughter, you're an adult. And the word of the Lord to you right now is that children are to obey parents. Adult children don't obey parents. Adult children honor parents. And there is a big difference. As an adult, you are to follow the way the Lord is leading you. And do it in honor before your mother and father. But if they're saying, do not follow the Lord that way, do it this way instead, I want you to do it this way, you are not obligated to obey your parents as an adult. And I just felt like someone really needed to hear that is watching this webcast. And you're going to be set free from that. You're going to have the courage to go and love and honor your parents, but follow the Lord in what he's showing you to do. Amen. Well, here's another one. The scripture says we are given gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the discerning of spirits in particular, which is the ability to discern the presence of God, the presence of angels, and the presence of demons, the presence of human flesh. Mm-hmm. That is a wonderful gift that the Spirit gives to us. But the question that this person had, and thank you, Joy, for your question, it says, how do we use this gift to glorify God and not judge our brothers and sisters?
By creating with God and calling the things that are not to be the things that are. There have been several times that I would see an individual and say the word incest would be written over them. And I don't go to that individual. I create with God and call the things that are not as though they were. I will begin to minister light over that darkness. And rather than saying, I perceive that you have the spirit of incest, what I will say is, right. I perceive that you are a person of honor. I perceive, create with God, taking away the old, and then in a time of privacy, I will say things, words like, in area of relationships that are not beneficial to you and to others, we just take authority over the spirit that would lead you in any area of misgivings. find a way to protect the dignity and the life of another. Because what we do is those spirits find, whether it's a spirit of incest or anger or whatever it is, if you confront it in front of people and bring embarrassment, you know, it's very important to create with God. And using your priesthood, as a priest, you bring the people to God and God to the people, and you bring your kingly anointing, and you begin to decree a thing and establish with the discerning of spirit, you know, because it's the sword that cuts coming down and heals coming up. We don't want to leave people in a bloody mess. You know, we have a lot of New Testament prophets with Old Testament mentality. In the Old Testament, it was, you know, let's just cut, kill, and destroy. But now that grace and mercy have entered in, there are more excellent ways to do things. When you discern something and you're not in a position of authority to be able to right. minister that, you are always in a position of authority to pray.
Right, and that is so important, being able to pray into your revelation or right. into the discernment that you're getting, bringing light into the darkness and conviction into that situation.
Right, and you never share that with other people. You know, I saw Tom and I see that he's having an affair and this happened and that happened. Can I give just a little illustration?
Yeah.
In church growth, we had this associate pastors that were working with us, nicest couple you'd ever want to meet. He was, his wife was like 18 years younger than him, and he grew a mustache, and someone in the prayer room decided that he was looking for a younger wife. They had discerned that, and it was so wrong, and that they went out and they shared it in the church. You know, Pastor so-and-so is growing a mustache because he's tired of his wife. And you would think, nobody's going to believe that. I mean, he's the kindest, most wonderful man, devoted to his wife. But how the enemy is the accuser, right. and the intercessor became the one that was saying, this God is showing us, and so we're going to have a meet. Split the church over that foolishness. So
love believes the best.
Boy, however, and that you come in, if you really thought you had heard that, you don't go and share that with right. anybody. There has to be some area of evidence
right.
before you jump up in one of...
I want to say also that unfortunately this has happened a lot in the body, where intercessors get together in the prayer room and then think that they've received, you know, a certain word. If it's a negative word or an exposing word, you know, you really, really have to be careful with that if it's accurate. But a lot of times I've discovered that what these intercessors are getting is not accurate. Mm-hmm. And I always think, well, love believes the best. So is God going to show me that if I'm immature with it? Is God actually going to reveal that to me if I don't know how to handle it properly? So in that way, a lot of times we can actually question those kind of discernments. Because
and you get partial information. If
right.
you're not in a position of authority to handle that, and God will show you things to pray about, but you're not the one that is to fillet the hearts of others, because you're not operating
right.
on a full revelation.
And when we're operating in the supernatural, love always believes the best of another and wants the highest good for another.
Mm-hmm.
So if you even do get a negative revelation, mm-hmm. it's like, how am I going to take this, walk through it for the best end for this person?
Right.
Which might mean going to that person
one-on-one.
One-on-one. It mm-hmm. might mean taking them to the pastor and saying, can I unpack this? I'm concerned. Most of the time, if you do have a revelation that's a convicting revelation,
mm-hmm.
The person's not going to come into agreement with it anyways
mm-hmm.
at first.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to know, okay, what can I do to help that person get all the way through?
Mm-hmm.
Here's another one. How do you balance the communication of true supernatural, or of the supernatural, rather, in a church that doesn't have the revelation of supernatural things? Example, you attend a church that doesn't talk about it, but you feel called to actually be there.
Well, how direct can I be with
this? You can be direct.
All right, well, now, if you indeed believe that you are called, that you have a word from God to call, and that you're in that particular body, I'm not going to say that's an impossible situation. But how can two walk together unless they be agreed? I mean, that's what the scripture says. And that if you have been given a revelation, and then he gives you the inspiration to stay among those and be a light in the darkness. I've heard many people say that. I have yet to see where it's been effective. because influence, proximity is powerful, positive or negative. Are you being fed what is necessary so that your spiritual growth can come to a place where you can be an extension of love and power and glory and all of these positive things? But if the authority that is established in that house is in disagreement with what you're believing, what you're doing is being a bone out of joint. And so I would encourage you to find people of like faith to be able to walk with them. And sometimes it's turning loose of the familiar that is very difficult for us, because we come to a time that God wants to promote us. He taketh away the old to establish the new. I tell people he taketh away because we don't want to give it up. The dichotomy is that I want the benefit of walking in the realm of the miraculous, but I don't want the process of separating myself with what's familiar. So give some serious prayer and intercession about, Lord, have you really called me to be here? Is there anything beneficial taking place? And keep in mind that we're in a realm where seasons are not 40 years. You know, that once you've been someplace 12 months and nothing has happened, you need to reevaluate your commitment to seasons in God. I hope that's beneficial.
That is excellent advice. And I also would like to share this as an insight for some of you. If you feel like being in the church that you have been called to be in, but, you know, you've got this dilemma that has just been mentioned, that they don't believe in the supernatural, but you've got family there or whatever. There are things that you can do outside of that fellowship to make sure that you get fed.
Right.
Because if you do not feed your hunger for the supernatural, it will eventually die. And one of the things that I can suggest to you is our web church. We have web church members. The XP web church, just go on xpwebchurch.com. We have web church members who are actual local church members because, you know, their family has been going to the same church for years. They want to keep the family, gathering on Sunday mornings. But then they join the web church to be able to get more feeding and some pastoral care for the supernatural. The other thing that they do is they go on xpmedia.com and they watch videos of teachers, of ministers, of testimonies that believe in the supernatural, and attend conferences and workshops with people that are of like spirit. So I think this is very, very important, that if you're only going to a church that doesn't believe in the supernatural, honestly, you are going to die there. Like, you cannot remain in that kind of environment if that's all the feeding you're getting and remain in faith. You can't do that. You must intentionally get yourself fed. So I just want to encourage you to do that. Also, I want to just take this opportunity right now to let you know about our Patricia King Live nights that we are having, that we're going to do probably about one a month, and we'll be advertising them through emails and on my Facebook, which is Patricia King Page, by the way, if you want to connect with me by Facebook, Patricia King Page. But we are going to do these Patricia King Live nights that are going to be vibrant in the spirit, where we're going to have so much prophetic stuff going on in every single one. We are giving away thousands of dollars of resource in every single one, and all kinds of gifts and surprises. It's going to be like a party. These Patricia King Live meetings are like a party. So it's on the internet. It lasts for 2 hours. We'll do them in half-hour segments, and we will be able to archive them so that you can watch them on demand as well. But for those that watch live, there's going to be surprises like you wouldn't believe. And that'll be one place where you can gather and get infused with hunger for the supernatural, with teaching on the supernatural, and there'll be testimonies of the supernatural. And so that's Patricia King Live. Look forward to that, because we're doing a whole pile of them this year, and it's going to be a real gift to the body of Christ. And also, I want to encourage you with another vision that we have, and Dr. Clarice Fluitt is very much involved with us on this and speaks at a lot of these events, but women on the front lines is an area where all over the world, it's breaking out all over the world. So we have them locally in different places in the USA. We have our world convention once a year. We've got all that going on. In fact, this one coming up is in March, and it's in LA at the Angelus Temple, the home of Amy Semple McPherson. We've got over 22 speakers that are converging together we're going to squeeze the wine right out of them, and we're going to receive impartation. When you get in gatherings like that, It'll feed your spirit. We're going overseas with them. We're having them in the North and South Islands of New Zealand, Australia, Indonesia. We're having them in places in Europe, in Ghana, in Mali, and in different places all around the world. So just go on xpministries.com and find out more about that and how you can get involved. But it's a great, great way to get fed, because you can still be involved in your local church that you want to stay a part of, but then you go out and you get infused with others that are carrying powerful anointings that will create hunger in you, refreshment, impartation, equipping, and training. Amen. Okay.
Got that.
Okay, Clarice, here's another question. How can I increase in my walk of the supernatural and bring others into the knowledge and understanding of it for themselves? So this is a person that wants to grow in understanding themselves so that they can impart it to others. How would a person get started in teaching others?
Well, first of all, you've got to have it yourself before you can give it to someone else. And it's back to what we talked about earlier. The things of God become yours by the reason of use. So I want to encourage you to believe that when Jesus said he ascended on high, gave gifts to men, that those gifts were the gift of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, the pastor, and pastor-teacher. And you see, that's like the hand of God, that is a gift. But then when we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we have to understand there are three gifts of the renewed mind. There's the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirit. We have three verbal gifts. We have tongues, interpretation, tongues, and prophecy. And then of the inner spirit, we have supernatural faith. That is the faith of God, not the faith in God. We have the realm of the miraculous and healing. Those gifts, those nine gifts, and the purpose is for the upbuilding of the body of Christ. So when you receive the Holy Ghost resident, the gift that you received was the gift of the Holy Ghost, and resident in him is the potential for all of those gifts to be activated. It says, do all prophesy? Do all speak in tongues? Do all? No, but believers do. These are the signs that will follow them that believers. All are not going to do it. But if you are a believer, the potential of developing things, you're going to have to take the word of God and says, study to show yourself that you are approved. You don't approve yourself by studying, but you study to prove to yourself, oh my God, I've been accepted. The righteousness of God has been imputed to me, that when God looks at me, all he sees is Jesus. Yay! Then you have to choose to see no other man or woman except in Christ. You cannot see them as some banished child of Eve, as a drug addict, as a prostitute, or something like that. You've got to see people from God's perspective. So that begins to create an atmosphere that the realm of the miraculous will work in your life. Then you mentor that. You display it in your countenance, your conduct, your conversation. I had this lady, we were on an elevator together. People talk about you have elevator opportunities. You got 30 seconds to introduce yourself, you know, reducing knowledge to a level of comprehension that ordinary people get it. And this lady looked at me, and she's very professional looking. She says, and tell me, what do you do? And we were at a business meeting. It was not a church meeting. I said, well, I'm glad you asked. I heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Basically, I'm an exorcist. And it just absolutely, everybody, you know, you think, and I wasn't embarrassed by saying it at all. Later, she told me, she said, I've never had that kind of response. That was the last thing. And I thought, that needs to be the description for everybody that's a believer.
Yeah.
I mean, that it's not who am I or what do I do as a son of God, that you are absolutely modeling how to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, preach the word, and you're never intimidated or, oh, God, I'm afraid I'm going to do it wrong. Just do it. Correction's not rejection.
Right.
We have to be willing to be corrected to learn how to be more effective
in
what we're
doing. And then we teach people out of our journey.
Yes.
We don't teach them out of our academic understanding, mm-hmm. usually.
Experience.
It's out of what has mm-hmm. been tested and proven in our own life mm-hmm. and the way that Lord has journeyed us. Here's a very good question, because we haven't discussed source yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that in the supernatural, there are a variety of sources, okay? And especially in the day that we're living in, with so much New Age activity and satanic things, and even, you know, in media, we mm-hmm. see a lot of the supernatural. Well, this person's asking, how do we discern whether supernatural occurrences have God as their source or not?
what was that movie where they says, may the source be with you?
The force, I think.
The force be with you. Well, the source of the force has got to be the Spirit of God.
Right.
And that it's always scriptural. I like to tell people God is bound to his word, not my understanding of it. You know, that God's bigger than his book. And we're beginning to learn that. Just because this is an area that I have had a journey in does not mean that the finish has been put on that. We are continuously learning more excellent
right.
ways to do things. So when you look at the fruit of what is going on, you know, that we have to become somewhat of a fruit inspector.
Right.
You know, and Pat, is it scriptural? Does it give glory and honor to Jesus? I believe there are some things that have to come into our lives that's non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
And I find for me the non-negotiable things that Jesus is the Son of God, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin named Mary, and for all sin, past, present, future, suffered, bled, and died, defeated hell, death, and grave, took the keys away from Satan. He's coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead, never being into his kingdom. Now, everything else is up for grabs, you know, because when I was a child, I thought and acted like a child, but when I became an adult, there are many things I was told as a child you can't do. Don't play in the street. Don't cross the street. Don't talk to strangers. Now I have to do those things. So as you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, things that were applicable to you and when you were, I love the way Paul puts it. He says, when he met the Lord, he says, I'm a doulos. I'm a love slave. I'm a slave of God. I'm a slave of God. And a lot of people stop there. And then you go on, and he says, God reveals himself to his friends. I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. And we get all excited about that. But then when he moves into a third dimension, he says, I am a son of God. And so there's a difference between being a slave, a friend, and a son.
Right.
And that spirit of sonship and adoption is released. These are the way we know the things that are supernatural come from the source of God. They bear his name and his nature.
Right on. Here's one about the seer anointing, the ability to see vision and see through God's eyes. It says, how do we increase in that seer anointing?
You know, you have the prophet that sees, and you have the seer that prophesies, you know, and one is visual and one is audible. You know, many verbal prophets, they paint a picture with words. They create an atmosphere. Their words become like slaves that usher out of the hiding place of God like an army to do the bidding of God. Then as the seer begins to see the three dimensions of seeing in the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies, and the way that you increase that, both of those are increased with the study of the word of God. But that study goes into your head. It goes in as information. There has to come a distilling process that is revelatory and understanding that revelation cannot be earned or learned. Revelation comes from fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. So you set aside a place, a time. We had questions one time at Women on the Front Line, you know, how do you pray? You know, how do you pray? And I shared with people something God had shown me. He says, pray without ceasing. And you think, how do you do that? How do you pray without ceasing? He says, begin to understand your body has billions of parts. This is your intercessor. We talk about paid intercessors. And I began to realize, Lord, if I tell my lungs every time they inhale and exhale to say, praise Jesus, he's the Son of God. If I say every time my eyes blink, this is the earth is filled with the knowledge of his glory. I give assignments to my body parts.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're in constant intercession. My church is at work because the head, the leadership, has given permission and instruction on how to be in to become prayer.
Right.
Not something you do, it's something you are. So in finding that how you accelerate that knowledge is that we begin to facilitate and activate, like we were talking about when I went to pray for this person. I said, I can't go until I fasted and prayed for 3 days. He said, honey, somebody's out there fasting, take their fast. And it never even occurred to me that we could expedite things. And if you were to say, I'm inviting you to come to Phoenix, and I say, I'm in Louisiana, and I'm not going to travel on another man's road. I'm going to make my own road to get there. By the time I got there, it's all over with.
Mm-hmm.
So there are things that we're going to have to expedite in the realm of spirits that we haven't heard of just yet.
Right.
So I'm excited about the days that are before us.
Right. And on that seer anointing, I just want to just this is very practical, but I found that it really helps. In the Bible, there are a number of prophets that are definitely clear seer anointings.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Ezekiel in chapter one, you will see the whole chapter as one big vision. Mm-hmm. You know, you see it in Daniel, you see it in Zechariah. You know, there's just all throughout the Bible, you can see these visions, and they're penned for us. Now, what I've done is I've asked the Lord to sanctify my imagination, because your imagination is what you'll see vision with. Mm-hmm. You won't have any type of vision, whether it's an open vision, trance vision, closed eye vision, faint impressions on the mind's eye. No type of vision will you receive without the imagination being engaged, because your imagination is the organ that God created in you to host vision. You will never receive a vision in your big toe. You won't receive a vision in your little finger, because it's the imagination that houses vision. So when you sanctify it, because when God gave you your imagination, he did not give it to you so that you would, you know, put vain imaginings in there and have ugly thoughts in there and pictures. He created it so that you could have his vision in your mind. So ask him, forgive me, Lord, for everything that's come into my mm-hmm. eye gate that has been unclean or defiled or anything displeasing to you. Forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I give you my imagination. Fill it now with your Holy Spirit. Then go look at those scriptures and close your eyes and imagine them. Imagine what the seer prophet penned in the scripture, because he tells the details. Like, for example, in Ezekiel 1, how many faces the angels had, what they looked like, what their wings were, how many there were, what was happening, you know, with the wind. You can ask Holy Spirit to paint that same vision, because he's the one that gave it to Ezekiel, and the same Spirit that showed it to Ezekiel can reveal it to you as you submit your imagination to the authority of the scripture. And the authority of that word will come onto your imagination and start to work within there. And as you're inviting the Holy Spirit to help you see it in your mind's eye, the same, and then maybe draw pictures of what you see, draw it out, color it. What it does is it activates that creative part of you. It activates it. And you always keep it submitted to Holy Spirit. And as you do, it opens up this well of seer ability in you. And you'll find that you'll get more visions when you're not even looking for them. You'll get them in the night. You'll get them in your dreams. And that has been one tool that has really helped me, is just to submit yourself to the authority of the word.
That's wonderful there. And when you were talking, I was thinking the image nation, you know, that the wicked nations tremble at the sound of the voice of the Lord, but the image nation, you know, God says there'll be no graven image. There'll be no false image that will come before us. And we are inundated with images. We are absolutely inundated with them. And it's increasing at all times. I was thinking about John when he was on the Isle of Patmos, and it's called the place of my killing. And that while he is there, he gets visions. I was in the Lord's Day, and I saw. And he begins to tell of the things that
exactly.
he saw. So he had to be in a place of isolation where there were no distractions. Mm-hmm. And then the things that he saw were nothing that he could imagine. It was beyond what he had ever seen before. But because his image nation was created, I just find that just so incredible. But when you say, we think, well, it's okay what I look at or what I listen to,
it's
or things of that nature,
that,
those words and pictures. And some people have a greater filter for things like that. They can say, I'm going to go to the movies and I'm going to watch this or watch that. But it breaks down to whatsoever things are lovely, pure, and true, that be virtue of praise, mm-hmm. that these things, if these images that are coming into you are positive and create a positive word, but if they're filled with violence and you think it's not going to affect you, you're deceived about that.
Right.
And something that will help you is that anytime somebody brings correction to you and immediately you feel defense, that defense raises up, you can be assured there's a wicked spirit working behind it. Because if somebody came up and accused me and said, you know, I've got a revelation from God and the Lord showed me you're not really a woman, you're a bicycle, you know, I'm not going to get in a fight with him over what I am, you know, because I'm assured of what I am. But I'm not going to jump on their case to be in the midst of all of that. So we find out that as these images come to us, as the seer begins to see, that he is not just seeing. It's so big. It's so big. Add living water to it, and it extends and expands, mm-hmm. and it grows. mm-hmm. and we begin to see, because God wants to take you deeper, deeper, and deeper, and deeper.
Right. And the key is to stay submitted to Holy Spirit. And, you know, there's even artwork today that
yes.
that is created in worship by prophetic artists where the Holy Spirit is inspiring them. When you get a piece of art, even in your home, and you gaze upon it, the anointing, mm-hmm. that prophetic anointing, the seer anointing, the creative anointing that created that piece of art will affect you. It'll pour out upon you. So the eye gate's very important, and you can enhance your seer anointing by feeding the seer in you the right things, especially when you keep it under the authority of the Word of God and the authority of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Clarice, we're running out of time right now, but I want you to release an impartation to everyone that's watching, that they'll grow in the supernatural, grow in the miraculous, you know, grow in everything that God has for them. Would you do that?
And if anything prophetic
comes to you, just feel free to release that.
I just want to sit up here and say, in the authority of the name of Jesus, such as God has given to me, I do reach into the atmosphere of the ever-present now. Arise, O men and women of the Most High God, and take your place in Christ. May there become an activation of the power of faith inside of you, that in the depths of your knower, you will begin to know you have been created to stand in the very stead of Christ Himself, to activate, to ratify, to speak as the oracle of God, knowing that the kingdom of God is a kingdom of words that's voice activated. May the realm of the miraculous, the word of knowledge, which gives understanding that you didn't have before, wisdom, the ability to use knowledge skillfully. Oh God, the discerning of spirit, that we will know that which is of God and that which is not, that we will be able to be obedient disciples, taught of the Lord with great peace and undisturbed composure. I loose a hunger for the realm of the supernatural. I loose a passion that you will covet, you will desire, you will seek, you will practice the presence, the power, and the person of Christ in your life. Let your countenance, your conduct, your conversation amalgamate like a triple braided cord that will come forth and say, I have been created to do the bidding of God, that my purpose in this life is to fulfill the callings of God, to see the earth, my earth, fill with the knowledge of the glory of God. The word of God would come to you today to open all your gates. This is a year of the open gates. Open your eye gates, your ear gates, your nose gate, your taste gates, your touch gates. Open all these gates that glory can come in and glory can come out. The giving of a gift is an option. The receiving is imperative when a greater gives to a lesser. When God has bestowed upon us that unction to function as sons of God, you and I must be ready. We are people that have a voice. We are people with a choice. Believe, receive, and achieve greatness. I decree it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We want to thank you so much for joining us on this webinar. We love creating them for you so that you can be built up in your faith and have your vision expanded and receive equipping. And so we are thrilled that you're with us. And if you want more information, more insight, more testimony, more teaching, go to xpmedia.com and also visit our ministry site, xpministries.com, and our store there has a lot of resource for you that can equip you in realms of the supernatural. And we would love to see you built up in your faith and to be able to embrace everything that God has for you. Again, I want to remind you of Women on the Front Lines. You can go on our ministry site, xpministries.com, to find out more information about all the different places around the world that we're going to be empowering women. And Patricia King Live. I'm so excited about it. It's our new mandate for this next year is Patricia King Live. And our very first one is on Rosh Hashanah. We're having a New Year's party. Rosh Hashanah means the head of the year. It is the biblical New Year in September 24th at 6 o'clock, right at the start of Rosh Hashanah. And we are going to party. We have prophets that are going to be joining us, prophetic words that are going to be released. We have things that we're going to be giving away, thousands thousands of dollars of gifts that we're going to be giving to the body of Christ. And we're going to have worship and impartation of miracles, signs, and wonders. It's going to be amazing. And we're going to start hosting these almost once a month, I think it's going to be, where we'll have these parties with Jesus. And so tell all your friends about it. And you can find out more information about the exact times of those and the dates of the ongoing ones on xpministries.com. God bless you. Thank you again for being with us, and I hope to see you again. And pray about partnering with us too. If you're not a partner with this ministry yet, or you'd like to donate into the ongoing outreach of this ministry, we welcome that and we thank you for it. Bless you, and remember this: God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. Go and share that love around with others.